Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
So did you hear Patrick Mahomes and what he said about possibly going 0-3 on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I think Jerry put that out there earlier this morning. So.
It's what an opportunity.
Yes.
What an opportunity to show everybody on national TV.
I think I told you on...
we're the Kansas City Chiefs and what we're about.
I think I told you on Monday that he had not lost three games in a row in his career. And he is in the middle of that right now. He has now lost three games in a row.
Yep, Super Bowl and then week 1 and 2 here in this 2025 season. I just cannot see them losing to the Giants and going 0-3. It seems impossible. Now, I know they've got really tough struggles on offense so far, but they've also played two of the best teams in football to start the season.
They have.
So, and the three games that they lost to the Super Bowl champion. They lost to a team in Brazil that right now is the talk of the league and Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. And they once again lost to defending Super Bowl champions. And these are close games. So I just think that 5.5 number, and I understand they're on the road and the Giants did what they did on offense, but I just, they're going to come in here. Patrick Mahomes is going to have to click into that locked in playoff Patrick Mahomes earlier than he wanted to. Because going 0-3 is just a disaster for them. But the Giants are not going to have a chance. Now, Andrew Thomas, if he plays, it'll be a huge boost. But, I mean, I still am thinking that he's not. I mean, if we haven't gotten a ruling now, it's going to go right up to the game. You think he's going to play? Doesn't seem like it.
I think he's going to play. And I also think that if Steve Spagnuolo plays a lot of man coverage in this game, which I wouldn't do. I would think that he's going to have somebody over the top of Malik Nabers because they now see what Malik Nabers can do when Russell Wilson's throwing the ball deep to him down the field.
Yeah.
And I would think that the Giants would try to exploit that again. Not going to be easy to run on this defensive line. They're going to have their hands full with Chris Jones, we know. But I just think that the secondary of the Chiefs is, I would just say it's probably middle of the league. It's nothing great. And why not do exactly what they did against the Cowboys. Now, the thing I love what they did about the Cowboys, honestly, going into the game, they knew Deron Bland was not going to play. So you got Elam out there. And they just basically kept going after him. And all Russell needed was probably 2.5 seconds before he was getting rid of the ball. And it was perfect the way that, you know, he was throwing the ball and how he was reading the defense. And I love the fact that Wandell Robinson got involved. So, Russell was the highest graded quarterback last week He had a sensational week, and I think you would think that the confidence is there now to do it again. Maybe not to the point where they did it against the Cowboys, because the Cowboys are not going to, you know, this is a better pass rushing team, Kansas City, than the Cowboys are.
Oh, sure. I mean, the Cowboys defense was horrific, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm taking anything away from Russell Wilson or Malik Nabers or Wandale Robinson, but I mean, this Giants offensive performance was like something we've never seen, ever. And there's just guys running wide open all over the place. I mean, both of those defenses looked horrible in that football game. It's not going to be the same. And I don't know how a team like both the Jets and the Giants can have two such different football games in the first couple of weeks. Like, the Chiefs played a similar game against the Chargers as they did the Eagles. I mean, I feel like I guess the Steelers and Seahawks kind of more like the Jets and the Steelers. Like, you get some of these games are like, oh, the Vikings played two kind of similar games, low scoring, sort of not scoring a lot on offense, but tight. It's like the Jets and the Giants have played completely different football games in weeks one. I have no idea what the hell these teams are other than bad. I don't know how they're going to lose, but they're going to lose.
Other than bad.
They're going to lose. Both of them will lose this week again. And we'll be a combined 0-6. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We know that. All they do is lose. Like, they just. Do you think either one of these teams is going to win this week? Come on.
I don't think the Jets will, but I think the Giants may keep it close. I'm telling you, Kansas City's offense is not that great unless, you know, Isaiah Pacheco comes in here and, you know, wants to impress his family and everybody and run for like 150 yards.
It's still Patrick Mahomes up against, you know.
So Isaiah Pacheco is one of those battering ram running backs.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. This is a rock and a hard place for Al, because Al now hates the Kansas City Chiefs and also can't stand the Giants losing. So I don't know what you want in this one.
No, I will be rooting for the Giants because we need them to be relevant.
Okay.
So I'm definitely rooting for the Giants.
Okay. Are they ever going to be relevant this year with that schedule? I mean, they're probably not, right? Even if they win this game, they'd be relevant for an extra week, but then they'll just lose. They'll be like 1-7 as opposed to 0-8.
So the problem is that most people predicted this for the Jets and the Giants. I actually thought they would be, the win total would be higher. Maybe it will be. Maybe this offense will continue to click, and maybe they'll win a couple games here kind of to save their season. And it may be Sunday night could be it.
Yeah.
Kansas City has not been scoring points, man. They've struggled as well.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be the time. Maybe this will be the time the Giants win, just like before the season started. Maybe this will be the different energy around this team, man. You can feel it. You can smell it in the air.
Man, somebody's all over me, man. I'm telling you, we got a long way to go, man. Just relax.
Oh, we're giving away Giants-Chiefs tickets in the 9 a.m. hour, so stay tuned for that. Sunday Night Football. You can see Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco and all the Kansas City Chiefs in person with your own two eyes.
I wonder if Taylor Swift will be going to this game. I mean, she lives down here in Tribeca. You gotta believe she's going to the game.
I don't know. Right? There's a lot of noise around them. 0-2, a little distracting. She's probably going to stay away until they win a game.
And like Gio said, just to get to that stadium is a disaster.
Even if you're Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she can take a helicopter.
Yeah, but still. It's too much. And getting out of there. I mean, where did the helicopter even land? It probably doesn't land close enough.
There's a helipad right off the parking lot there.
Okay. But then, like, how does she get from there? Like, it's still going to be a pain in the ass to get in.
No, I mean, she goes, hey, police escort, psh, right in the tunnel.
What's the place over there, Reds?
Yeah.
She should go in there, get some wings, hang out with the fans. What do you think? It'd be perfect.
It's too bad she can't live a normal life. I bet you, as great and as awesome.
She's a billionaire. What do you mean?
I know. She can't live a normal life. Well, she can't go out and just kind of like. I bet you. I wonder if she goes out incognito.
You know, Reds is the place where you could park your car there. They'll bus you over. Yeah. She ought to do that.
Yeah, that would be perfect. That's how easy it is. They make it for you. Imagine just sitting there and you're like a guy like Sean Morash and his dad, and you turn over and Taylor Swift's on the Reds shuttle to MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, that's not happening.
You think she'd get heckled, or do you think that they'd...
No, I think everybody would be very respectful around her, but they'd be all over her.
Well, yeah, taking pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
So yesterday, I spent a little time looking back at the Giant film, and especially on defense. They got problems on defense, you know, and this week they're going to be playing the Chiefs, obviously, on Sunday night, and it is not going to be, I mean, the Chief defense smothered the Eagles. I mean, flat out smothered the Eagles. And as I was telling you yesterday, watching that game, that was a real football game. I mean, it was 20-17. There weren't a lot of big plays, but the intensity was, you could feel it. You could feel it through. I just watching the tape, you could feel it. And I would just say that the Giants are going to be in for a rude awakening, I think, on offense, unless somehow, some way, Russell can continue to connect with Malik Nabers, because at least watching what the Giants are doing on offense, they were making big plays. And it's something that we have not seen from the Giants consistently, you know, on offense. And it's going to be interesting to see if they can get any of those big plays this week against a very stout Chief defense.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the Giants offense look putrid and we saw them have an all-world day. I'm sure that neither one of those things are who they are. It's got to be somewhere in the middle. I would lean towards more the Commanders game than the Dallas game. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough sledding. And I just, like, this Giants defense that got completely shredded. Now, I understand the first week, they had given up 21 points. It was 14-6 in the fourth quarter, but they did give up over 200 yards rushing. Their defense has been as disappointing a unit. Well, Jets defense too, man. My God. Both these defenses that had promise have just been awful to start the season.
The other thing, too, is remember when the and I saw this online yesterday, so it's not something like that I'm nationally just thinking of right now, and that is the fact that I don't see this defense turning into that defense. You remember Spagnuolo's defense when they started 0-2 and they gave up like 80 points and they ended up going to the Super Bowl back in 2007, I think it was. You know, I don't think this defense is that defense, but you're playing against a kind of a one-dimensional offense in Kansas City. And if you can't stop this offense, because everybody is the two teams that they play, the Chargers and the Eagles, pretty much have shut them down.
Yeah, but those are good football teams with chanted playoff teams. One's a defending Super Bowl champion. I mean, they shut them down. But as Jim Harbaugh said, their defense, the guardians of victory. I mean, and the Philadelphia Eagles are as good as anybody in football, obviously. So, I mean, I don't know if you could take those two examples and apply it to what the Giants are. I mean, the Giants are nowhere near in that category or that.
No, but what I'm saying is that You know, it's not like they're coming in here with Tyreek Hill, is
no.
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and, you know, and Travis Kelce's just not the same player that he once was. You know, Father Time is catching up.
Sure. I mean, they are not. They spent a lot of money on that team. They couldn't, of course, with the salary cap, keep everybody. They were able to keep Chris Jones, which makes the defense very, very good. But, yeah, I mean, they have struggled offensively ever since we saw them in the Super Bowl. It's been three straight games where they have looked completely out of sync.
And by the way, you know, there was some chatter and has been some chatter now the first couple of weeks about Brian Daboll getting fired and all this other. He's not getting fired in season, folks. So forget that. That's not happening. You know, he's going to have every opportunity to turn this thing around, and eventually they'll turn to Jackson Dart at some point. And, you know, then it really comes down to whether or not ownership feels that they're seeing development in this team. And I know that losing these two games to two division rivals on the road, not a great way to start the season. Probably predicted by most of us that that was going to be the case. Hopefully that they were going to be able to beat Washington now, but that didn't work out. So now in comes Kansas City, and this is now they are in the throes of this very difficult part of their schedule, the opening part of their schedule. It doesn't get much easier after this. But if there were ever a time to play the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, this is not the rocking and rolling Kansas City Chief offense. This is the time to play them.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that they, I mean, this could be their get right spot for sure. That's what everybody else is thinking.
Spot. I mean, after everything they put into the game last week, the Chiefs, and everything they tried to do to upset the Eagles, and they could not pull it off.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't. To me, when you lose, it can't be a letdown spot. Like if you win and you're riding high and feeling good about yourselves, then you got a opponent after that isn't nearly as good. When you lose, I mean, you're just, we got to fix this. We're 0-2. For God's sakes, we can't go 0-3. I don't know. I would be floored if the Chiefs went 0-3 and the New York Giants beat them to make them 0-3. Just think about that. I know that they've struggled, but let's just take that statement at face value that the New York Giants beat the Kansas City Chiefs to make the Chiefs 0-3. In what world does that sound like a realistic thing?
Anything can happen in the NFL. We see it week in and week out.
I know anything can happen, but my God, that's a... That's a tall order. I don't care how bad the Chiefs are playing. I mean, the Giants all they do is lose. That's all they do is lose football games. They won three last year, should have won two. How the Indianapolis Colts allowed Drew Lock to look like Johnny Unitas, I have no idea.
Well, speaking of Johnny Unitas, that's what Daniel Jones looks like.
Yeah. Actually, even a little better at this point. but I just, they just lose. I mean, I don't, like, that's what, I'm coming into this season, I'm like, all this positivity about the Giants. I'm like,
the positivity was the young players, and hopefully those players bring in a young amount, you know, young energy. Javon Holland here, you know, they're supposed to be better defensively, especially in the secondary. I don't know. I don't see them, you know, getting that much better, but I would like to think that, you know, their pass rush has got to get home. That's basically what it comes down to. And, you know, when you see these games, especially in the fourth quarter, that's usually when, you know, that pass rusher shows up, that game wrecker shows up. That's the guy that forces the fumble, stops a team on fourth down, gets the sack to make it third and 25. You know, and that's not what is happening for the Giants right now.
No, it is not. So what team shows up? I mean, probably... I'm going to say, you know, an offense that is more like week one, a defense that's more like week one, and a result that's more like week one. That's probably what you're going to get in this Kansas City Chiefs game. Now, I've been so wrong about the NFL so far, but one thing I've been right about is, and it's not like I can hang my hat on this because they're so bad, is that the Giants were going to start the season at least 0-2.
Yeah, well, by the way, you can't count on much when it comes to the Giants, but you can always count on Sunday with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. This week's game of the week will be the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers at Drake May and the New England Patriots.
Nick in Red Bank, what's going on, Nick?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
So, I remember the other year, the Chiefs had a real struggle versus the Jets in MetLife. You said it's going to be a tall order for the Giants to beat the Chiefs. Spread's only 5.5. I think it's going to be a real close game.
Yeah, listen, the spread's 5.5 for a couple of reasons. One, the Chiefs are on the road, and they haven't scored a ton of points. But also, I think they're begging you. I think that the sports books are begging you to take the Giants at that number. I mean, because they think, like, oh, man, like the Kansas City Chiefs, every game that they play is close, and look at the Giants last week, and blah, blah, blah. And they're going to try to draw you in with that, and then the next thing you know, bang, they got no chance. But, I mean, I mean, listen, the Chiefs, I understand that the Chiefs are not the same. I just don't know how anybody could think.
They did. They played two really tough games.
Against really good teams.
I know. I understand that. That's why I'm saying, and maybe that's why it is 5.5. You know, there's also a natural letdown spot when you think about you being the favorite on the road. I mean, I don't know. It's the one thing that I take out of that Cowboy games, those big plays can happen, man. And Russell can make those happen. And that was good to see. I was really glad to see that. And getting Malik Nabers involved and Wandell Robinson involved, if they can just keep half of that,
yeah,
makes it interesting. I mean, that was the Jets had a great football game against the Steelers in week one. They lose. The Giants have a great football game, especially offensively, not so much defensively, in game two, and they lose. And it's somewhere the cycle has got to break.
Not this year. It's not breaking this year. Come on. It's definitely not breaking with the Jets.
There's got to be a point where the Giants are able to get out on the field and upset somebody. There has to be.
Well, I mean, they did it last year against the Colts, and then that cost them the number one overall pick.
But is that really an upset? Well,
hell yeah,
Colts?
It was. The Colts were trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but, you know,
and Drew Locke was playing, and the Giants had two wins.
This would be, obviously, 5.5 points. This is a major up. This would be a major upset.
Yeah, I wonder what the spread on that game was last year with Indianapolis. I mean,
Indianapolis didn't come in here with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback.
No, of course not. So now you're coming around. And, I mean, it sounded like before you weren't in on the Chiefs.
I'm not crazy about the way any of the, you know, they just don't look like they have any answers offensively. It's almost like Andy Reid's creativity has been stifled for some reason.
Perfect time to play the Giants. It'll look as creative as humanly possible. I'm telling you. It's just, it's get right spot. This is get healthy. That's what this is.
A get right spot.
I mean, it's get healthy against the Giants. All right, you know, it'll be 1-2. I mean, every Chiefs fan is sitting there saying the same. All right, they've got the Giants, no problem. 1-2 will be fine. Offense will look good. You know, you don't want to lull yourself into a false sense of security if the Chiefs, after you beat the Giants, you know, 30-13. But, yeah, you got right. You know, an offense looked great again. But now, you know, we got to smack them around and move on in the schedule, and then we'll figure out. So that's what they're thinking. You know they are. I mean, it's the Giants.
I understand that. I know. I'm just looking for, like, some sort of positivity somewhere.
Not with the – fine with the Mets if you want to do that after last night like I did, fine. I can't until I really see it, until they actually look like they could win football games. I mean, their record is worse than any team in the NFL over the last, 5 years? They're that bad. They're in the top 10 of the draft every goddamn year. So until they actually win a football game or a couple of football games, then maybe I'll be positive. But do you think I'm going to be positive with the Chiefs at 0-2 coming in here to take on the Giants? You're sorely mistaken. Sorely. Not going to happen. Knockout pick again, by the way. Kansas City.
Knockout pick again?
Kansas City. Bang. He's going to pick against the Giants the entire year. Maybe I might even pick the Saints when the Saints play the Giants. Spencer Rattler, career day. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports
and
Network.
You are relentless.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You know, I wanted to get into the football here. With Andrew Thomas, it seems like now the expectation is that Thomas is finally going to make his season debut. And that is now piggybacking, the word of the week apparently, piggybacking the feel that a lot of people have, including some of the NFL experts that we've had on this week, whether it's Brian Baldinger on Tuesday, whether it was Kyle Brandt yesterday. The feeling, and I know a lot of you out there, same thing, the feeling that this is a winnable game for the Giants on Sunday. And I just don't see it that way. Yeah, obviously Thomas coming back will help. He's an integral part of what they're going to try to do. Do you think him coming back is going to help them score more points? I highly doubt the Giants are going to be able to score as many points as they scored last week. And even with those points, they still weren't able to get a win. So why on earth would I believe, and this is not to dismiss the Giants, I'll be rooting like hell for the Giants. I want to see them beat the Chiefs and have some kind of a relevant season here. But why on earth would you think, or why in the universe, would you think that the Giants have a chance of beating the Kansas City Chiefs? If you actually paid attention, close attention to the Chiefs, like, yeah, do they look like the perennial Super Bowl contender that we've seen? Maybe not. Maybe there's a drop-off. Maybe Travis Kelce doesn't have his whole heart and head into the game anymore. Maybe Mahomes has slowed down a little bit, although I would vehemently push back about against that. They clearly don't have the weapons that they've had at different times. However, their defense is better than it's been before. And they still do have the best quarterback in the league in Patrick Mahomes. So, like, whatever your reasons are to poke holes in Kansas City, I think it's false. And they lost to a very good, very tough, hard-fighting Chargers team in week one. Week one of the NFL now is basically preseason week three, the way that we used to know it. So it's not even week two, it's week one. And in week two, they lost to the reigning Super Bowl champs in a tight game, all right, in their home building, sure enough. But one big, bad, costly mistake that flipped the whole game over with Kelce, who was going in, who dropped the ball. Turned into an interception, rest is history. Now, I'm not excusing that. Hey, mistakes are a part of it, fumbles are a part of it, drops are a part of it. You got to make those plays. However, there's this feel as if the Chiefs are far less than what they were. The dynasty is dead, if you will. And there's this feel, for some unknown reason, that the Giants, after 1 week, 1 week of scoring touchdowns, we did it, touchdowns. The Giants have scored some touchdowns. Like, is that all it took to get everybody back behind the Giants now? Give me, and the majority of that, yeah, like Malik Nabers is a stud. Is he going to be able to do what he did again against Kansas City? Is Russell Wilson going to be able to perfect those deep throws that they did so well against a crappy Cowboys defense? Like, take everything into account. the Cowboys don't have a good defense. And I would argue that their team is not as good as some people are saying. I don't trust Schottenheimer. The defense has been awful for the first 2 weeks. Even the offense been inconsistent. Yet they still found a way to beat the Giants, who scored 37 points. And throwing the deep ball over the place. Daggers left and right. Final nail in the coffin with the neighbor's touchdown. Nope, not so fast. So what exactly, here's what I want to know. Where is the confidence coming that the Giants are going to walk out of MetLife Stadium with a win and the Chiefs are going to leave at 0-3? Where is the confidence coming from? It doesn't make any sense to me. The Chiefs are better than most people are thinking, and the Giants are still the Giants until proven otherwise. Just because they took significant steps in one game with the offense, that's going to outweigh the, you know, three prior years that we've seen under Brian Daboll? Going against now a much better defense in Kansas City? Even with Thomas back, and I'm glad he's coming back, and I hope he can stay healthy. And maybe this can be the beginning of the Giants winning some games here. Yeah, I'm supposed to believe that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to walk out of MetLife Stadium 0-3, but yet Big Blue is going to get a win against the Chiefs? Come on now. Not saying it can't happen. Obviously, anything could happen in sports. We all know that. But I would never, ever bet on the Giants. Matter of fact, it's going to be one of my biggest bets tomorrow, a little teaser ahead of the Perfect Parlay Pick segment. I got to take the Chiefs. On principle alone, the idea that many people now are getting behind the Giants in this game, it just does not add up. Now, there's a path for the Giants to have success, run the football well against a better Chiefs defense. I don't know why you would think that that could happen, but if they do that, they could have success. Oh, and by the way, get to Patrick Mahomes. Name me a defense over the last, 5 years, whatever it's been, that's gotten to Patrick Mahomes consistently. Meaning that the Giants, Burns, Kayvon, Carter, getting to Mahomes and creating havoc in the backfield, which is something we haven't seen them do nearly enough in the first 2 weeks. Against, Jaden McDaniels and Dak Prescott. McDaniels good. He's not, or Jaden, what did I say, Jaden McDaniels? Jaden Daniels good. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I don't know how to get that from. All right, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. It's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. This week's game of the week, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who got walloped by the Seahawks, taking on the New England Patriots. Back to the phones we go, 888-808-1019. We'll keep an eye on the Mets as they're about to get underway here. Dion wants to talk about his Yankees. Dion is in Queens. What's up, Dion?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say one thing. You may or may not agree with me, but I was at the Yankee game yesterday in Minnesota. I just got back about 2 hours ago. And there's something that the Yankees are missing. I mean, they couldn't put the team away handily yesterday, nor on Tuesday. I mean, they were up 10-1, and they let them come back. And yesterday, they let them stick around. I don't think the Yankees are going to go deep in the playoffs. There's something, I don't know if it's the pitching or the hitting or both, but I just don't have the same feeling that I had last season.
Do you have any concerns about a possible matchup in the wild card round, whether it's the Astros, Mariners, Red Sox? Are you worried about that versus what it was last year with the Royals, or it just pertains to the Yankees?
It just pertains to the Yankees for the most part. I'm not too worried about Houston, even though they can be that sneaky team, and they've been the thorn in the Yankee side for a number of years. But it's just, I mean, the ballpark yesterday was flat, sparsely attended.
But it's Minnesota. I mean, you're in Minnesota. They're going to be flat. That team's out of it. The Yankees go in there, and they really rough them up. See, what I would say about the Yankees this week is that, okay, you saw the offense get shut out, and then you saw them score 20 runs in consecutive games, right? The 10 runs on Tuesday and then the 10 runs again last night. I would take more, even though they blew the 10-1 lead, I would still take away more positives in that game. And then last night, I think it was just on Luis Gil, who didn't have his best stuff. He started to run out of steam there, and then the bullpen did a good job. So I wouldn't have any concerns just based off of the 2 games in Minnesota, or the 3 games in Minnesota.
No, it's over the season for the most part. I would say from like late May, early June on.
Yeah,
they tended to kind of fall off the edge there, and they lost, you know, their place in, you know,
I get it,
as a division leader.
Well,
so there's something there.
Well, correct, Dion. However, and thank you for the call, and appreciate your fandom going out there and hey, watching the Yankees in Minnesota. Love that ballpark. I went out there years ago. Fun ballpark to go visit. Yeah, there's something there. However, you can make the case that the offense can carry them. Let's say Judge continues his heater and all of a sudden carries this team through a postseason. Like if Aaron Judge for once is what he's been in the regular season for the majority of his career, if he takes that and does that in the postseason, the Yankees can overcome a lot of deficiencies. Now, I don't know what's going to happen at shortstop, but at least Volpe, when he played, not last night, the night before, there were some encouraging signs. Now, not to make it all about him, but I'm just saying that there are some encouraging signs. The offense at its best is an elite offense. Elite. Maybe the best in the entire sport when it's at its best. The concern is that going to be sustainable or is that going to come to fruition, their great offense, in the postseason? That's a big question. Are they going to be able to clean up things defensively and on the base paths? But they have the tools. You know, they have speed. They've got guys that can play defense. They've obviously got power. That's their greatest strength. They have quality starters. Freed, Rodon. I mean, Heel, all right, maybe a little concerned about that. Schlittler, all right, I wouldn't trust him 100%. Maybe he's starting to run out of steam a little bit. But still, with Freed and Rodon, at the very least, those two. And then you have, you know, one of the others making a start in game three. You feel good about that. The bullpen would probably be my biggest area of concern. I'm with you. There are issues. The Yankees have flaws. We all know that. They're not a perfect team. Who else is? I wouldn't worry about the Astros. That would be the team that I'd prefer to face. I'd rather face the Astros than the Mariners or the Red Sox. I think those teams could be very dangerous. Pitching, the primary reason for that. The good pitching that the Mariners and the Red Sox have. But now, to me, from a Yankee perspective, is not the time to be negative. You had all year to watch this team. They are what they are. You roll up your sleeves, go get them in the postseason. Take your chances. Hope that the offense stays hot more often than not. Hope that you don't beat yourselves with the bad defense or base running or, you know, the follies that have happened at times that the Yankees could think are over-talked about or overhyped or overrated, whatever, overplayed. Go out there and play clean baseball. Don't beat yourself. And then cross your fingers that Bednar, Devin Williams, and one other guy, whether it's Cruz, whether it's Weaver, they probably need one of those guys in addition to Williams and Bednar. You hope that those guys could hold down the fort out of the pen. Gary is in Mayapack. What's up, Gary?
Sal, long time no speak. Miss you, bro.
How are you, Gary? How are things?
I'm good. Hanging in. I wish you were still on the overnight because there's so many Met losses that have turned my stomach and I needed to vent to someone. And I don't get along with C-Mac so much. So
why not? Has he been yelling at you, C-Mac? What's he doing? He's treating you dirty? He's treating you poorly?
Well, actually, it goes back to where I thought he was piling on Zach Wilson for a while. I thought he was just like everyone else, and right. We didn't agree on that. And
look, you could overcome it, though. Remember, you and I had our issues with the Rangers and Islanders. You got on me for being a fraud Ranger fan when I wore the Islander jersey. It took a while for you to get over that.
Absolutely. I boycotted you for a while for the playoffs. And
Gary,
then we made a run. We took the first two games in Jersey. We thought we were winning the cup again and had that turn out.
Obviously not the way that we would have liked, as has every year since 1994. Anyway, okay, what's your point, Gary?
It's on the Mets. I don't know if it's their philosophy, if it's Hefner, if it's the pitchers, or that they're gutless. I really feel they're gutless. You know, Manoah, his last start before Mendoza brought him into the tunnel, he gave up like four hits in a row. They were all off speed, breaking balls, sliders. He throws that sidearm slurve at 74. What do you think is going to happen to it? And last night, and it's been happening since the All-Star break with Peterson, he does not challenge anybody anymore. He never challenges you with a fastball. He'll get ahead of you 0-2. He'll nibble. Now it gets to 3-2. And, you know, last night, if he doesn't swing at that ball, he probably walks in a run. Where's the fastballs? They walk everybody.
Yeah, I mean, the walks are infuriating, Gary, and great to hear from you. Hope all is well. You get back to us. I do miss you, too, on the overnight, and a lot of the callers used to call the show regularly. yeah, you know, helping us all get through those overnights. That was a lot of fun. So I do miss you guys, and good luck to your Rangers, our Rangers, this upcoming season here. Be here before you know it. Yeah, I mean, look, the Mets have had issues throwing strikes all year long. It's been an issue. And there were some issues here already in the first inning with Tong. Dude, Hoff and I were kind of watching this as we were listening to Gary. Manny Machado hit a laser to left field over the head of Nimmo that one-hopped the wall, and somehow he got thrown out at second base by a mile. What the hell is going on with baseball? Like, the Mets infuriate me where they can't get a runner in from second base with a base hit. It's just mind-boggling. Like, second base is, or at least it used to be, and it is for the majority of baseball, considered scoring position. Yet with the Mets, they're stationing the station. Drives me nuts. A base hit from second base. You get a base hit with a guy on second, he can't score. Machado hit what should be a clear double by, like, any measurement possible. And he, thankfully, gets thrown out at second base. Otherwise, it would have been second and third and one out with Jonah Tong on the mound under duress again. But instead, it is a runner at third and two outs as Tong tries to work through the first inning, which is something he could not do in his last start. What was he doing, Hoff? What the hell happened there with Machado?
You know what? He's not trying to say he's slow out of the gates, but again, he's not the fastest runner.
He got thrown out by a mile. He hit the ball off the wall.
And think about it. It was off Nimmo's noodle arm. Got him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't even Nimmo's arm. Nimmo threw it to Lindor. A cutoff. The ball one-hopped the wall. Nimmo, who doesn't have a good arm, throws it to Lindor, the cutoff man, who turned and fired a bullet to McNeil at second base to get him by a mile. Wasn't even close.
I think that Nimmo should have caught the ball, by the way. I think he's just not positioned properly. I think that a faster outfielder would have got that ball. I think it was hit pretty hard, though, so the speed might have been able to ricochet off the wall quick enough. That's part of it.
Anyway, where's your, no, you're okay. Where's your confidence level in Tong after watching the first few hitters here?
Oh, terrible. Listen, he's got two outs. There's a runner on third, and there's no run scored, so that's a positive.
That's true.
I mean,
get out of the clean here.
Yeah, this is. Can I just tell you something? While you were talking before,
yeah.
There was a pitch to Machado. He had him 0-2, and he threw a fastball, and he just it didn't bury it in the dirt. But there's no fool. He's not fooling anybody.
Yeah, I know.
His location is so off.
The Mets know. This was, as a matter of fact, I would bet that their decision to start him in this game predated Manaea doing well with his, you know, when he had that talking with Mendoza in the middle of the game in Philadelphia. Tong did get through it. All right, exhale. One inning down, we didn't allow a run. So that's good news for the Mets. Ryan calling
pop
from
the champagne, everybody.
From Rockland County. What's up, Ryan? Oh, sorry, it's 120. I got distracted there. Go ahead, Ryan. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Sal. The thing with Savannah Bananas is funny. I'll get to the Mets things in a second. The Met bats are going to carry Buchanan. Go,
okay.
Pat.
And thank you for the call, of course, Ryan.
Oh, wait, that was Buchanan?
Yeah, that was the famous Buchanan call.
Wait a second.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I got screwed again on that?
Yes. It's all right. Well, I haven't heard from him in a while.
Dude,
think about that. You just made that guy's life. Like, any Met fan that thinks that they're going to celebrate a postseason berth, it would pale in comparison to what that guy just celebrated for getting through on the phones there and saying Buchanan. He's been doing it for 30 years.
He should have been retired. He got me a couple weeks ago, and it was so good.
Well, overnight show?
Yeah, I told him, you know what, that you should put your feet up, smoke a cigar, take a sip of whiskey, and retire. You did it. You nailed it.
I just try to think, like, as I think through this, and it used to bother me a little bit. I'm not even angry anymore. I just, like, try to think through what kind of life is that you call the radio station for, you know, 30 or whatever it is, 20 plus, at least 20 plus years, and wait on hold to get through and then, you know, talk about Pat Buchanan, who at this point I would think the majority of people don't even know. I really don't even.
Is he still alive?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
Kyle Brandt in studio, NFL Classic, after further review show from Vice. Tonight's episode, check it out on Vice. Going to relive the Bart Scott game. That's at 9 p.m. Also, you have something coming up with the Giants. October 8th, Phil Simms, Chris Mad Dog Russo
yes.
join you to talk about Super Bowl 21 with the Giants win over John Elway and the Broncos. That's coming up October 8th, 9 p.m. as well. How was that sitting down with Doggy and Phil Simms?
That's incredible. I've met Phil before. I had never met Mad Dog before, ever. Meeting anybody over Zoom is weird. Meeting Mad Dog over Zoom is like this tornado you get pulled into because it's so much energy, so much volume. And I had an icebreaker ready. I was like, all right, Mad Dog, here we go. We're starting the show. Let me know. People want to know, are you popping a gummy before we start going? And he's like, oh, let me tell you, I don't have a gummy today. Like, he just go. And he has this, and then he turns around, has this incredible insight, this fascinating story about how the Phil Simms game in so many ways launched him and launched everything he has ever done with Mike in this building because the 86 Mets were happening at the time and the Giants were happening and New York was having a moment. And he tells it much better than I am in the episode, but he's like, really, truly, this game is the reason I've been able to do and build what I've been able to build. It was awesome.
All right, how about the Giants? I saw that you were over there handing Scataboo that angry run scepter.
Yeah.
By the way, you got to be making good bank on those T-shirts, no?
I hope God, from your lips to God's ears, please. Right? Everybody buy a damn shirt. I hate that I'm peddling T-shirts, guy, but they are pretty cool.
Hey, I mean, how many jobs do you need? And then you need the T-shirts on top of it, but no, they are cool. So you went out there and saw Scataboo, gave him the angry scepter. Where are you at with the Giants? Russell Wilson taking over right now before Jackson Dart. Trying to get Dable and maybe salvage that regime of Shane and Dable with Russ leading
the way. Well, I was so excited for Scataboo. He's just one of those guys that I put all the chips in. I'm like, he's going to be great. He's amazing. He's a folk hero. He's like he was on your high school team and your locker room and listen to Pantera in the weight room. This is a great guy. And on his first touch in the NFL, he ran over like three different guys. I was so happy. So we give the angry run scepter to whoever has the angriest run of the week. Go to the Giants facility. I got invited by the Giants. Incredibly cordial, incredibly hospitable people. I give the scepter to Scataboo, who's amazing. I'm like, this is so cool you did this. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do another one next week. Like, he was a little cocky. Scataboo's got that
in
him.
I saw the video, yeah.
Yeah, like he believes in himself. And then I get a tap on the shoulder in the middle of all of it. And I'm surrounded by all these Giants employees and photographers and just really nice people. And I get a tap on the shoulder and I turn around and there's Russ. And he's going in the weight room. He's like, hey, man, how you doing? Like, big handshake, big hug, all that. Oh, what you got there? I'm like, oh, this is a scepter. And I don't think he knows what it was, but and it's fine. I was just surprised. And honestly, I was impressed because I, in many different points, have been a very, very, very vocal critic of Russell Wilson. And it's spilled out onto social media. And I have never met him before, but it's my job to talk about the players. And I've done so critically of Russell Wilson. And so either he was like messing with me and killing me with kindness, which I also kind of like.
Good
or
move.
He was just blissfully ignorant and was just saying welcome. Either way, I respected how he handled it.
Now, why have you been a critic of his? Just dating back to Seattle or just Denver and Pittsburgh?
Denver. And honestly, like, Russell Wilson just played pretty much an incredible game. And like, I don't want to gratuitously dig up the past. Like, there was times in Denver where I had issues with what I thought was his awareness of his public image and his bolstering of it on purpose. And I thought there were teammates maybe didn't respect that, but that's redundant. And that's years ago. And listen, he's two teams later now. And I'm sure you were watching that game too. Like, oh my God, Russell Wilson, this is amazing.
I've always thought, the Denver stuff is a huge story. Denver thought they were going to change everything and make it a big trade. It was a disaster there every which possible way. But what he did in Seattle, I would always think that was, I know he won a Super Bowl, so how underappreciated could you be?
Yeah.
I thought that there were times watching him, even in the playoff years, dude, he was as good a deep thrower as I've ever seen. Obviously, you saw that come to fruition with the Giants to a ridiculous extent on Sunday, but I always thought he was underappreciated. Maybe the lack of awareness, a little bit, like, he's corny. I mean, I could say it. I'm probably not going to go in that locker room. He's not going to say anything to me, but he was a little corny at times. Hey, look, if it leads to wins, who cares? What would you do if you're the Giants with Jackson Dart? I don't know if you've met him.
I haven't.
Everybody wants Jackson Dart. It's not about Russell Wilson. It's just about getting to the future, the exciting potential future with Dart. What do you think of Jackson Dart?
I just think, I can't believe the restraint from Dable. It's so easy to break glass in case of emergency. Here's another funny story. Over the summer, my wife and I go to Citi Field because we're going to see Post Malone and Jelly Roll. We go to the concert. It's just fun, like a parents' night out, just two of us, no kids, no friends, anything. We go to Citi Field. We walk through the turnstiles. Within 5 seconds of passing the turnstiles, I physically bump into Brian Dable, who is there with his whole family, and they're having so much fun. He's like, I love Jelly. And then we start talking, and like, I truly, truly love Dable. And for all the Giants fans or critics listening, think what you want of him as a coach. God, he is a rock solid guy. The second you're in the room with him, he makes you feel comfortable. He's awesome. And I'd had a few drinks. I don't know if he had, but like we were feeling it. And my takeaway from it was Dable. We talked a little football. He was so excited about Jackson Dart. Like, just so excited. Like he was saying, Jackson, this and this and this. And I was like, all right, great. I know you loved him. You drafted him. So to that point, the fact that he didn't say, all right, 1 week, get out of here. Just pull the ripcord on Russ. And he made the right choice, and it was the right coaching choice. And now it's like, okay, I thought Russ was playing for his job in week two. I thought everything was on the table, including like a halftime benching, everything. Just, I didn't think they were going to go another game of that level of play. And then he just starts lighting it up. And I got to say, as far as the Giants right now, we were talking about this on Good Morning Football. You know, we do these wacky segments where we have whiteboards, and it's like one word to describe the Giants-Chiefs matchup. And my word was just opportunity. I know there's so much doom and gloom with the Giants and they're 0-2, but
they have not only been bad the last few years. You know this. They're so miserable at home. And when you get those Giants fans to buy the tickets and get in the car and bring their kids and go to the stadium and they just get their clock cleaned at home, that really, really leaves scars. They have an opportunity at home on national TV to send the Chiefs to 0-3. And honestly, Sally, I think they're capable. I think they could win that game based a lot of what I've seen from the Chiefs and what I saw from the Giants offense last. You telling me neighbors couldn't go nuts again against the Chiefs? I really think they can win that game. And, like, what a win. At home, national TV, we finally did something worth clapping about for our home fans. And for the first time in history, Patrick Mahomes is 0-3. My word's opportunity. I tend to look positive.
You really think? Because I felt that way a little bit yesterday. I went back and watched some more of the highlights or the key plays in the Eagles-Chiefs game. I know the Chiefs are 0-2.
What'd you see?
I don't think they're dead by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no, I don't either. Yet,
but I think a lot of people, dude, if they go 0-3 and losing to the Giants, like losing to the Chargers, losing to the Eagles, happens. Mm-hmm. Chargers are very good. Eagles Super Bowl champions, even if it's at home and it was a tight game. I don't think Dallas is that good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's sustainable with the Giants. No, I do know it's not sustainable with the Giants did on Sunday offensively. And it feels like we had Baldy on yesterday, who I respect his opinion. You're an NFL guy. I respect your opinion on it as well. It feels like a lot of people are saying, that's a winnable game for the Giants. And I'm just thinking, dude, this may be, we're walking into a potential disaster with the Chiefs having their awakening. You really think the Chiefs are going to walk out of MetLife Stadium 0-3?
It'd be crazy. It's crazy that they're 0-2. I don't care who they play. The Chiefs aren't supposed to go 0-2. And everyone's like, what's wrong with the Chiefs? You watch them on offense. Everything just looks so difficult. Like, Mahomes has to ad-lib and Sandlot to do anything. And look, you can get into the minutia of it. They lost their top two receivers. They don't have a one. They don't have a two. They have the least talented backfield probably in the NFL. They have like a 30-something podcaster at tight end who is all heart, but like he's in his 13th season.
30-something
like,
podcast.
Gronk didn't even get to his 13th season. Look up Shannon Sharpe's numbers in his 13th season. It was career lows. Like, Kelce is just a little piece. So I will still say that I don't care if the Chiefs start 0-7. I still won't give up. I still think they're going to be 10-7.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know what I mean?
Either way, we're looking forward to the show tonight.
Thanks, man. 9 o'clock tonight.
Pleasure to meet you in person.
You're the best, Sal.
I got to look up that real world history and get refreshed on that. Appreciate you coming in. Make sure you check it out tonight on Vice NFL Classic. After further review, you got Kyle hanging out with Bart Scott and Method Man watching the can't wait game where the Jets beat the Patriots in a postseason game. And then October 8th, you got Phil Simms, Chris Russo. Join Kyle to revisit the Giants Super Bowl 21 win over John Elway and the Broncos. That is at 9 p.m. Eastern on Vice TV. Thank you very much, Kyle. We appreciate the time.
Great to see you, dude.
We'll come back, finish up with your calls, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Tiki, I know you don't love history, and history doesn't lead to necessarily something happening in the future.
Yes.
But I did have a piece of information that I thought was interesting.
Let's hear it.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Have beaten every single NFL team on the road in their history, except for one. And that team that they have never beaten on the road, of course, is the Dallas. No, I'm just kidding. Is the New York Football Giants.
Is that true?
That is true, and I fact-checked it.
Wow.
0-8.
Because I know you told me a month or 2 months ago, whenever it was, that I never lost to the Kansas City Chiefs.
You remember that. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I remember the one game. Obviously, the most important one was the one right after 9/11, but then also the one in 05 with me and Larry Johnson. Mm-hmm. Having an epic running back battle back when running backs still mattered. I rushed for 200 plus. He rushed for 160.
I'll give you the exact numbers. LJ went for 167 and two touchdowns. Pretty good. Tiki Barber went for 220 yards and two touchdowns.
And I had three sausage and pepper heroes in the parking lot that day.
Nice.
That was your second highest rushing performance your NFL career.
That's right.
And it happened against the Kansas City Chiefs, and it happened at Giant Stadium. So you are correct.
That's right. So I remember those two times.
Yes.
Are those the only two times I played them?
Well, that's a great question. I think you've played them three times. You're 3-0 in your career against
the Chiefs.
So that
means the other one was probably earlier when I wasn't playing as much.
Yes.
I would guess it's earlier.
Yeah, you didn't play a lot in that game. Oh, Tiki knows about Tiki.
I returned some punts.
But does that mean anything to you that the Chiefs have never actually beaten the Giants at either Giants Stadium or MetLife Stadium?
Honestly, it means nothing.
Really? I thought that was going to bump you up.
It is bupkis. I mean, zero.
Does that get you excited, Sean?
No, only because Patrick Mahomes has never started a game at the Giants. I mean, like, the last time the Chiefs were here was Mahomes' rookie year, and the Giants actually had a stunning upset. They only had one win at the time, and they beat the Chiefs 12-9 in overtime with Alex Smith as the quarterback of the Chiefs.
That is true.
It was a stunning Sunday in November.
It was a 0-0 game at the half, and it was 6-3 going into the fourth quarter.
You were there, Sean?
I was not there, but the game sticks out in my head.
I mean, of course, because you wanted to claw your eyes out 0-0 at halftime.
And Tiki, this might shock you. At that time, there was thoughts of tanking, and the Giants only had one win.
The other thing that you should be positive about, and it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it does feel like Andrew Thomas is trending in the right direction to make his season debut on Sunday night.
Just for the record, we made a long-term prediction about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I said week three. For Andrew Thomas.
Well, it's trending that Tiki's going to be right. Is it there yet? And then the other thing that would pump me up if I'm a Giant fan, and tell me if this works, Tiki, because this is something I have no experience with. Tape has been released of the New York Giants practicing today. And you know how they play music during practice?
Yes.
They were playing the dramatic Sunday Night Football music.
Were they?
Bum, bum, ba-da-dum, bum.
That's actually pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
That is great.
So that works, right?
I mean, usually it's just random rap or whatever the heck is going. Sometimes it's country. Who knows? But, I mean, I'm not used to it because we didn't have that.
They wouldn't play any music?
The only time we played music was when we were getting ready for a domed game. And so we'd go in the bubble, and then they would just blast, like, crowd noise.
Just so you could get used to that experience.
So it's more like white noise and not hip-hop or whatever.
That, right.
Rock or whatever.
What kind of music would you have preferred? Like, would you be pumped up by the Sunday night? You know,
I doubt it. Probably more pumped up by whatever's hip at the moment.
So you don't think the players got, like, pumped up hearing that music?
No.
Hmm.
No. They're too young.
I thought it was a positive. I thought it was like, you know, Daboll's getting them ready for this big moment, because it is a pretty cool moment when you play Sunday Night Football. I mean, these guys they're now young enough where they grew up watching Sunday Night Football.
Yes.
Like when I was a kid, Monday Night Football was a bigger deal than Sunday Night Football, just the way it was.
Sunday Night Football didn't start until 07?
Well, that version of Sunday Night Football. So prior to that, it was on ESPN, and it was not the sexiest game of the weekend. So it existed for as long as I remember. Sunday Night Football existed, but it was just different. It wasn't the perceived main event. And I think since NBC took over, there's a flip-flop. Like, Monday Night Football is still a thing. It is not the thing it used to be.
No, Monday Night Football is what the old Sunday Night Football used to be.
That's exactly what I just said.
I know. You're saying the flip-flop. But, like, you didn't say it exactly that way. That's basically what happened. They try to give you a good game. They don't care. They put in flex scheduling early with Sunday Night Football. That changed everything with NBC.
I feel good that you agree with me, but I think you just basically said what I said.
I think you took a longer round of way to get there.
Yes, what Sean said made it very succinct. Today's Giant Preview is brought to you by New York Oasis. Don't know, don't judge. Turn the page on stigma. Learn more at oasis.ny.gov. That's OASAS.ny.gov.
There's one other thing about the Giants I want to bring up, and I've been waiting all week to do it. I even wrote it down on my notepad and said, please bring this up to Tiki Barber, see his reaction. Okay? Was it Reddit? Yeah, I was on Reddit the other day, and there was this guy making a really compelling point that, because of Joe Burrow's injury, the New York Giants trade Russell Wilson to the Cincinnati Bengals. Your thoughts? Go ahead. Your thoughts.
Okay. Why would we do that, first of all?
Why not? You got Jackson Dart.
Maybe you trade Jameis Winston.
No. Then they're not going to want Jameis Winston.
That's the one that people should be, you know, clamoring for, even though Jake Browning actually looked pretty damn good,
yeah,
despite throwing multiple interceptions.
But Bengal fan 882 said Russell Wilson. He didn't say Jameis Winston.
Why would he want Russell Wilson? Why would a Bengal fan want Russell Wilson?
Well, that part
because
is actually
just threw for 450.
I think that part is pretty easy because Joe Burrow's going to be out till December.
Yes,
right. So the Bengals, who are off to 2-0 start, which is great for them, have got to find a way to survive until December. And even if you do survive until December, you don't really want to rush Joe Burrow back. You want him back when he's good and ready. And so if you're the Bengals and you're a Bengal fan, you look at Jake Browning and you say, can he really help us survive? Mm-hmm. Like, we're playing the Vikings this week. We play the Lions in a few weeks. We play the Packers. We obviously play the Ravens and the Steelers, the Bills in Buffalo. Like, are we going to survive without him? And so you look at what Russ did for the Giants You look at the fact that he's a solid veteran, even if he isn't the guy he was years ago, and you say, hey, who would give me a better chance of surviving until mid-December, Jake Browning or Russell Wilson? So from a fantasy football perspective, because this really does feel like fantasy football, but it kind of reminds me of Jet fans after Rodgers got hurt, where we're like, hey, can we go get Kirk Cousins?
Who can we get? Right.
Yeah.
Who's available?
So that's why they'd want it. The question is, would you want
that? No.
Why not?
Because Russ is due for $450.
Yeah, but you're not going to marry him long term.
I don't need to marry him long term. I'm trying to win some games right now.
What if the Bengals offered you a third round pick?
Okay, if this is 4 weeks, a month from now, and we're getting closer to the deadline, and the Giants have won one game, then maybe.
Oh, hold on, I'm writing this down. If the Giants have one win closer to the deadline.
The deadline is now October. It's Halloween. Is that what it is? Like right around that area? I can't remember. I know they moved it back, but now I can't remember.
What's the trade deadline, Sean?
Tuesday, November 4th.
So even later.
Following week 9.
Oh, so it's like marathon.
So if by the time the World Series starts, the Giants only have one win, you'll be open to trading Russell Wilson to the Bengals? Is that what you're saying?
No.
That's what you just said.
Because the Bengals won't want him then.
Well, it depends.
Because the Bengals might be in the exact same boat as us.
Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know how good Jake Browning's going to be.
What if he was
okay and won a game for him last weekend, but that was only because the Jacksonville Jaguars crapped the bed.
What if the Bengals are in a playoff spot and that week prior, Jake Browning takes a big injury?
Yeah, then there you go.
I've painted the
They got to be desperate.
Okay.
Because they got to give us a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now we're talking. What's a lot? Like, what do you need?
I
just offered you a third round pick. You scoffed. Is that not enough for you?
No, it's got to be like 2 third round picks.
I was on, where was I? Was it Reddit? Yeah, I was on Reddit the other day, and there was this guy making a really compelling point that because of Joe Burrow's injury, the New York Giants trade Russell Wilson to the Cincinnati Bengals. Your thoughts. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
Okay. Why would we do that, first of all?
Why not? You got Jackson Dart.
Maybe you trade Jameis Winston.
No. Then they're not going to want Jameis Winston.
That's the one that people should be, you know, clamoring for, even though Jake Browning actually looked pretty damn good, yeah, despite throwing multiple interceptions.
But Bengal fan 882 said Russell Wilson. He didn't say James Winston.
Why would he want Russell Wilson? Why would a Bengal fan want Russell Wilson?
Well, that part
because
is
he
actually
just threw for 450?
I think that part is pretty easy because Joe Burrow's going to be out till December.
Yes.
Right? So the Bengals, who are off to 2-0 start, which is great for them, have got to find a way to survive until December. And even if you do survive until December, you don't really want to rush Joe Burrow back. You want him back when he's good and ready. And so if you're the Bengals and you're a Bengal fan, you look at Jake Browning and you say, can he really help us survive? Like, we're playing the Vikings this week. We play the Lions in a few weeks. We play the Packers. We obviously play the Ravens and the Steelers, the Bills in Buffalo. Like, are we going to survive without him? And so you look at what Russ did for the Giants. You look at the fact that he's a solid veteran, even if he isn't the guy he was years ago, and you say, hey, who would give me a better chance of surviving until mid-December, Jake Browning or Russell Wilson? So from a fantasy football perspective, because this really does feel like fantasy football, but it kind of reminds me of Jet fans after Rodgers got hurt, where we're like, hey, can we go get Kirk Cousins?
Who can we get? Right.
Yeah.
Who's available?
So that's why they'd want it. The question is, would you want that?
No.
Why not?
Because Russ is due for $450.
Yeah, but you're not going to marry him long term.
I don't need to marry him long term. I'm trying to win some games right now.
What if the Bengals offered you a third round pick?
Okay, if this is 4 weeks, a month from now, and we're getting closer to the deadline, and the Giants have won one game, then maybe.
Oh, hold on, I'm writing this down. If the Giants have one win closer to the deadline.
The deadline is now October. It's Halloween. Is that what it is? Like right around that area? I can't remember. I know they moved it back, but now I can't remember.
What's the trade deadline, Sean?
Tuesday, November 4th.
So even later.
Following week 9.
Oh, so it's like marathon.
So if by the time the World Series starts, the Giants only have one win, you'll be open to trading Russell Wilson to the Bengals? Is that what you're saying?
No.
That's what you just said.
Because the Bengals won't want him then.
Well, it depends.
Because the Bengals might be in the exact same boat as us.
You think that's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know how good Jake Browning's going to be.
What if he was
okay and won a game for him last weekend, but that was only because the Jacksonville Jaguars crapped the bed.
What if the Bengals are in a playoff spot and that week prior, Jake Browning takes a big injury?
Yeah, then there you go.
I've painted the
scenario. They got to be desperate.
Okay.
Because they got to give us a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now we're talking. What's a lot? Like, what do you need?
Just a, I don't know.
I just offered you a third round pick. You scoffed. Is that not enough for you?
No, it's got to be like two third round picks.
Two third round picks?
I was thinking like T. Higgins in a two.
What's wrong with you people? T. Higgins in a two? Show
desperation costs. When you're desperate, it costs more.
Would you trade Russell Wilson to the Bengals right now?
No, I would not. I believe in the Giant. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Tiki stuff. I believe in the Giant culture they're building right now.
Yes. I heard that Tommy would not only trade Russell Wilson to the Bengals, he'd move him there.
I would drive him there. I'd pack up him and Ciara right now. You have Jameis Winston. He could be the starting quarterback. I'm sorry. There's not a big... Sean will probably get mad at me for this. There's not that big of a gap between Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. Jameis makes more mistakes, but Jameis Winston would have thrown for 450 yards on Sunday. Definitely.
Yeah, but he also would have thrown two interceptions.
Well, Russ threw a big interception. You know, to me, you have Jameis as a fail-safe here. So you, if you could get a third-round pick and build for your future... It's about the future with the Giants, not the present.
I'm going to do you a favor, Tiki. I'm going to offer these gentlemen, specifically Tommy, the player's perspective, because I don't think he's looking at it that way. The biggest problem with all of this is the room.
Yes.
How do you go into the room early in a football season and say, we dumped our starting quarterback for some picks?
Especially after he and the offense had one of the most productive days in years.
Yeah, you can't do that.
He's leading the league in passing yards.
Right. What would Malik Nabers say to the media when he's asked about it? Or what would he even say privately?
Wait, Daniel Jones is second, right?
Yes.
How about that?
That's crazy.
What would Darius Slayton say to the media or on social media, since he likes to tweet at fans now, if that happened? Like, I think the biggest difficulty with this fantasy football Reddit Bengals fan trade idea is that in the real world, I don't know how you sell that.
But the Giants quarterback room is literally quarterback survivor. All right, so Tommy DeVito got voted off the island. Mm-hmm. Someone else is going to now get voted off the island.
That's like, an interesting way to look at it.
It's musical chairs. Someone's got to go next. So
sorry, Tommy, you made a big mistake.
How did I thought that was one of my best picks I just did.
It's all over now. It has nothing to do with Russell Wilson anymore. He reminded me of something.
What is?
Tommy has still not worn his L for the Tommy DeVito stuff. Like, he put him over as the next Tom Brady, and he agreed that once Tommy DeVito was cut by the Giants and no longer on the internship program, he'd have to wear an L. That's your words, not mine.
Tommy's still around. He's at the San Gennaro feast, so he's still plugged in.
He's on a different team now. He doesn't exist anymore. So I'll be nice, and I think Teak will be nice about this. You pick the day.
Okay.
If you want it to be a football Friday... Yeah. I think you got to have a full show of wearing an L for all your ridiculous Tommy DeVito stuff.
Oh, I think I still deserve a fair trial, though, on this.
All right, you want to have a trial? Mm. Tiki, should he wear an L?
Yes, you should.
Sean, should he wear an L?
Yes.
Evan, should he wear an L? Yeah.
All right, so
you're
what's
wearing
the
an L. So if you would like to do it without being noticed on television, because we'll be late from SNY today because the Mets are still playing on SNY today, you should wear it today.
I'll do a full show Monday.
Oh. Nice.
How about that?
Are you working Monday?
Of course I'm working Monday.
You're not going to get sick on Monday?
You want me to do a tomorrow full show?
I think
it's better when it's on TV. It's more of the, you know what I mean, that I'm skirting on my punishment.
I agree with you, and I think for those that are not aware, maybe they're new to the show, or maybe they mute it anytime Tommy talks.
Oh, come on.
The reason he has to wear an L is because he was above and beyond a Tommy DeVito fan. Mm. Like, he's the next Tom Brady. He took so much airtime.
To be fair, he is on the Pats, so I might be proven correct on that.
That too, and an unheralded backup.
Right.
You might be right. He's got to get his opportunity.
I got to do the short-term L, though.
Quincy Williams has got a knockout. Drake May.
Don't do that.
Could you imagine? Oh, you know what?
Don't do that.
Let's put that in the atmosphere.
Hurt him, but not so bad that he's, you know, very badly hurt, but enough that Tommy DeVito's got to play for 8 weeks.
If only Justin Fields got hurt 2 weeks earlier, Tommy DeVito would be a Jet right now.
That's how you're probably right.
Let's be perfectly honest. But Tommy did say a lot of over-the-top things about Tommy DeVito, and what we agreed on was that once he was cut and the dream was officially over...
Mm-hmm.
Then he would wear the L.
Tommy!
So I'd agree. I'd say tomorrow, full football Friday, wearing an L.
Done. Yes. No problem.
See?
It was mostly just a name thing. I know that, Tommy. I got you.
Now move on to Tommy Tats, the tight end, who's the next Travis Kelce.
Fedoni! See, Sean, that's how you take an L like an adult. Tommy Lugauer just did that. I want you to learn.
All right, we'll see him do it tomorrow.
What's wrong with him? He's got like something in your eye?
He splashed an energy drink right in my eyeball.
Oh, lovely.
Jeez.
At least your eye's going to be energized.
Steve is calling from Harlem. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Steve.
First of all,
there it is.
I don't want to always call out Sean. It's just, you know, when I see people think that's a wheel, I got to pull them over.
Right.
Second of all, Sean, everything comes with a price. And honestly, if the cost of Tiki and Evan recognizing who I am is that you think my stick is bad, I'm good. So I'll make a deal to cut it out, but it's got to be of equal value to me. So we can always talk. But nice. Third of all, nothing, including the Wii U, is more annoying than you have recent, to be honest. First of all, I hate the stadium argument. I feel like we all have said, or at least should have realized, just because it's always talked about when we go to Seattle.
By the way, this is like, Steve. Steve is referring to the Cal Riley, Judge MVP debate that we had to open the show. If you miss it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, but continue, Steve.
Yeah, sorry about that. Should have prefaced this, but
right.
It's always mentioned that that's one of the best stadiums Judge plays in, and the numbers are really clear. He's hit 11 home runs in 25 games, so in Seattle, he would average 71 home runs a season. And so who cares about the stadium? Second of all, you've got to compare Judge to Raleigh in the competition, not Riley to anything else. It's a race, not a storyline. And third of all, this goes for everybody. I think it'd be the most hypocritical thing in baseball if they give the MVP to Raleigh based on home runs, because they just have to value home runs to a degree to make the case that everyone always says home runs don't mean that much. Home runs don't mean that much. So I think it's very hypocritical. But anyway.
No, Steve, that's a good point. And it just kind of, if he won simply because he hit 61 home runs or whatever the number he ends up hitting, it kind of confirms what everybody's been saying about Major League Baseball for a decade plus. They care about the home run. I'm not talking about MLB itself. I'm talking about managers, analytics people, all those that are focused on launch angle and swinging for the fences. I guess it's baseball in 2025 and probably a decade before, but still, just it's not a measure of the most valuable person.
And also, one of the records that Cal Raleigh broke that everyone's marveling at is not just the switch hit record, the catcher record, it's the Mariner record. He passed Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
Ken Griffey Jr. hit 56 home runs in 1998. It led the American League. He finished fourth in the MVP.
Oh, you're picking 98?
Well, why?
So that's said when McGuire?
Well, it's a different league. It's the American League MVP, not the National League MVP.
Who won the AL MVP?
Juan Gonzalez. Okay. Followed by Nomar Garcia-Powell, followed by Derek Jeter, and then Ken Griffey Jr.
First of all, good call calling out the AL. Bad job by me.
Yeah, horrible job by you. I mean, seriously, where did that come from?
Because I thought the way you're smirking the face, you were trying to bring up the other home run leaders. I can't tell you why Juan Gonzalez won the MVP that year. Preposterous. All I would tell you is this. I understand the case for not just...
like a platypus?
Yeah, not just giving the home run leader in the league. Like, I get that. There are six human beings who have walked planet Earth who have hit 60 home runs in a Major League Baseball season. This is not just simply the home run leader.
Say that one more time. There are six guys who have hit 60 home
six
runs.
Six human beings whose Damn. Lungs have breathed
there. There's that many now? Mm. It feels watered down.
Yeah.
When I grew up growing up, it was just Babe Ruth and Roger Maris. We got how many guys?
Ruth, Maris, Judge, Bonds, McGuire, Sosa. That's the list. Cal Raleigh cuts into that, and we're not going to hand him the MVP because Judge has to get it for a 15th time.
It would be Judge's third. And
third, 15th.
Sammy Sosa is on that list three times. How many of those years did he win the MVP? 98 is one. He didn't win in 01.
01 was Bonds because he led the league.
I don't think he won it in 1999. So just because you hit 60 doesn't guarantee you the MVP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.